It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back, quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We worked our way through news from the weekend. Now, he's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We are going to look at just recapping. And I just found myself curious, and I feel like probably other people feel the same way, of just let's collect all the stuff that we feel like we've learned so far and put it in one place just as a little breather before we make the final push into the spring. So some of it we'll touch on again that we just touched on a little bit in the first quarter, but that's okay. We discussed a little bit James Franklin kind of just being full-on honest. And I think for him, Greg, when he's speaking publicly, there's always an intended audience that's not the media. Right?
Correct.
So I think him discussing the need for transfers and getting into some of the positions where they're looking for that is pretty much just saying we're open for business right now. We've got scholarships. We've got opportunities. And these are where we have opportunities. So if you're a grad transfer out there, let's make some headlines on this. And you can find us easily. We're right here if you're a grad transfer. Am I reading that correctly?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, I think that every time James Franklin talks, you're 100% right. He's aiming it for, you know, there's usually a reason 9 times out of 10 that he's directing his thoughts toward. So in this particular case, I think that he is reminding anyone that's out there. I mean, the transfer portal has made it a little bit easier to sift through who's available, who's not, who might be interested in you, who might not be, all that sort of stuff. But in its basic form, if you look at it, the sort of snapshot of it that Bruce Feldman shared earlier this year, I mean, it's fairly basic. I mean, it's names and schools and positions, and that's really kind of about it. I'm sure there's some, the private part of it, not that any of it's really private, but at least the part that doesn't get shared. I'm sure there's some contact info in there for kids and all that. But, I mean, you have to actually do the work and drill down and figure out, you know, who's out there, who could
what
fit your program.
What are their accomplishments? What is their resume? I can almost guarantee at Penn State, at all these other places across the country, there's an intern or a grad assistant that is just saying, okay, build us a bio of this guy. Should we take him seriously or not? And let them sort through the information.
That's pretty much it. And I'm sure there's actually a couple of people working on that at this point in time. I mean, it looks to me as if Penn State is seeking out guys that, you know, aren't necessarily all, I mean, Weston Carr is an example, not all FBS guys, not all FCS guys. He's a D2 guy. So, I mean, I think the more you dig, the more interesting names you might find, but you're going to have to dig to get them, and whoever digs the best is going to end up reaping the rewards of it when it comes time to land these transfers and clean up the transfer portal.
So speaking of the transfer portal, one thing that I feel like, and this is maybe not what I learned, but maybe my own personal conclusion, is that the endorsements for Lamont Wade, who was in the portal and now and opted to come back, the endorsements for him have they continue to feel lukewarm to me.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, signifying from James Franklin or anybody else. Like, there is no doubt about it. This is our guy. And there's obviously reasons to do that. If there's an ongoing competition, which I think any position that doesn't have a true incumbent, they're going to consider ongoing all the way through the summer. So there's some reason not to anoint anybody. But I've just never felt like they really threw everything they had behind Lamont Wade. I could be reading too much into that, but they said some okay things, some pretty good things.
Yeah.
But not like Lamont Wade has looked tremendous.
Yeah.
Lamont Wade. So maybe I'm looking too much into it.
I don't think you are. I think Penn State has to do the balancing, the tightrope walk of not eliminating Jaquan Brisker's chance to compete for the starting job before he even gets on campus. I think that's a really hard line to walk between not anointing Lamont Wade as the next starting safety when you told this guy, undoubtedly, from Lackawanna that, hey, get everything taken care of you need to get taken care of. Get here as soon as you can in May or June and start working. And you'll have a chance to win the job come summer camp. So they can't, in my opinion, completely wash out his chances of that by coming out and making it seem to be that nobody besides Lamont Wade is going to be the starter. But at the same time, it might be underplaying and underscoring what Lamont Wade's accomplishing this spring. And arguably his biggest and probably best set of drills in March and April to date.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think sometimes, me personally, I haven't really given Jaquan Brisker as fair a shake as maybe he deserves, just because of him arriving late and because, you know, there are some veterans still on the roster. It's just it's a little hard for me to believe that he will be a starter week one. But if he's special, then that'll all take care of itself. So that would all, that would definitely explain why nobody's jumping for joy publicly for Lamont Wade. Well, another name just in that defensive backfield that we've heard a lot from is Keaton Ellis, who wasn't highly regarded early in his recruitment, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of good reasons for that. Being in state college, being in Penn State's backyard, being that he didn't do a lot of the camp stuff because he was a multi-sport athlete, basketball and track and football at state college, performed really well, which earned the offer from Penn State in the first place on campus. So I feel like this shouldn't be much of a surprise, but I also feel like, you know, he looks like a big time athlete to me, and he looks like not just a big time athlete, but an actual big time football player too, who can just has that sense of making big plays when you need them, and to the point where we felt like the depth chart was pretty well stocked at cornerback. Mm-hmm. But I think he's gonna shake it up. I don't know what that means exactly, because you know, you obviously have a couple starters. You obviously have Donovan Johnson back. I don't know that there's a real push to be made for like the number three job, but I think to be a number four, maybe number five cornerback is worth burning a red shirt.
Yeah, and I mean, special teams comes into play here too, right? Joe Lorig is – I thought James Franklin's comments were really interesting when he said that – this was 2 weeks ago now, I guess. He said that Joe Lorig was brought in here to install, not do Penn State special teams the way Penn State does them. I thought that was a very important, maybe throwaway comment from James Franklin, because that tells us that, like with Joe Moorhead, Joe Lorig has the keys to that special teams unit, and he is free to keep the car the way it is, trade in the car, completely buy a new car, whatever he wants to do to make that unit flow better, work better, and ultimately produce better. You know, I thought KJ Hamler was very complimentary of him when he spoke to the media after last week's practice. I think obviously the fact that you know, they're looking to sort of reboot things there, tells you that they feel like things were okay the first couple of years under James Franklin. They obviously took a step back last year with Phil Galliano in that role for 1 year, and now they're trying to overhaul everything that they do there. I think you're going to see a lot of young guys play because of that, and Keaton Ellis certainly fits the mold of a guy who could do that, much like Jesse Lucchetti did last year.
Dynamic and smart. I mean, I don't think there's much more you're looking for out of a special teams guy.
Right.
But I do think we'll see him on the defensive side too. We're talking about what we've learned this spring here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. And one of the things that I've learned this spring is that you should be at GoPSURV.com's lot for the blue-white game. They were less than a couple weeks out now, and they have a special offer for Keystone Sports Network show listeners. $350 for a group of four. That's the starting rate. You can arrive there on Friday. You stay the whole weekend through Sunday. You can tailgate the day before, the night before, before the blue-white game. You can tailgate a little bit after the blue-white game. There's a lot of opportunities to do that. A shuttle back and forth to Beaver Stadium, that takes another part of it out. You can just kind of come and enjoy everything without having to worry about a ride. You also get a free 4-9 tailgate club meal with that price. $350 is a starting price for a group of four. Do the math. It's a good deal. You can contact Mark today for more details. 1-800-519-8467. You can also go to gopsurv.com. For more information. One thing, I guess this is probably a little disappointing, and this comes from KJ Hamler talking to the media last week. It sounds like injuries aren't behind Justin Shorter yet. And there, it's not quite clear when KJ Hamler is saying that Justin Shorter mm-hmm. has been banged up, if that's a reference to last year, which injuries kind of followed him all through camp, through the early part of the season, and really derailed his freshman season before it really began, or if there are new injuries and new concerns to deal with. But it's a little bit of a concern, but not much until you can hear something more official on that. You can see him at the blue-white game, whatever the case might be. There's no reason to get discouraged, but it's just something to watch as we get through the rest of spring and into camp then.
Definitely is. I mean, I think obviously Penn State would love for him to be ready to go. I think that maybe it sounds like he's just banged up, dinged up a little bit is what he was referred to as last year. That may still be the case. definitely kind of disappointing there, but we have seen him in action. I don't think it's anything to get too worried about. You know, I think one guy that we haven't seen do a whole lot this spring is Shane Simmons. I think that might be a little bit more of a concern. Obviously, yeah. When you talk about guys that have, you know, fought injuries for a while now and haven't really had the chance to stay healthy. But yeah, when it comes to Shorter, obviously Penn State would really like for him to be a big part of the offense this year. But if he cannot, you know, if he keeps missing practice time, it's obviously going to impact how much time he can get on the field. And obviously Jarrett Parker's still feeling things out. He's giving everyone a fresh start. So it's not that health history would ever be held against the guy in terms of completely wiping his chance to compete off the board. But, you know, the less time you have to be out in front of the new coach, the harder it will be to maybe earn his belief in your abilities, which, of course, will up the snap count at the end of the day. So hopefully he can get things straightened out sooner rather than later.
He's a big name to circle for a potential breakout season, and there are just, you know, reasons to keep watching that, reasons that you can't really take that for granted just yet. How about Rasheed Walker? You know, seeing him at left tackle, presumably getting reps at right tackle, but it would seem right now, Greg, that the most optimal scenarios for Rasheed Walker to legitimately win that left tackle job.
Yeah. At this point, it feels to me like Penn State wants Will Fries to play right tackle. I mean, we saw them bounce around a little bit last season, but it looks to me like they want Walker to be the left side, Fries to be the right side. And the question, I guess, that we have to ask is, where is Anthony Wigan in this competition, if he's involved at all? I'm starting to get the sense we might have another year, and not so much at tackle. I mean, right?
He looks like a tight end to me, a little
Wigan?
Bit. Yeah.
Yeah. When James Franklin started talking about being a light 300 or a skinny 300 pounds,
yeah.
You sort of knew that was sort of a sign of trouble, if you will, in terms of his ability to play in year one. But yeah, so you expect Walker to win the job there. Looks like Mike Miranda and CJ Thorpe, actually, it might be a little bit more of a battle. I had Miranda penned in there, quite frankly, and now yeah. It looks like it may be a little bit more of a battle. To me, Penn State doesn't make a choice. They cannot afford to do what they did last year and play six offensive linemen and rotate guys in and out. It just doesn't work. I think
continuity is the number one thing.
Yeah, it gets a little, you know, bang your head against the wall-ish to hear them. At one point, it's all about continuity along the offensive line. At another point, it's all about, well, we have six guys who we think can play, so we're going to play them. Well, which is it? Because, you know, continuity with moving guys in and out, I guess you can say you get used to that rotation, but there's a reason the most successful college football programs in the country don't spend time playing six, seven guys on the offensive line without injury. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, make a decision and go with it. A couple of just things to mention quickly. I think Nick Bowers is a guy that they really like what they're seeing, has a chance to be a big-time number two tight end. Cam Brown is another guy I think they believe is in for a big year, can lead that defense a little bit. That's what we've learned this spring. We're going to move on to our player review series. Stick around. We're going to start with KJ Hamler right after this.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.